Welcome to Flies, everybody. I'm Ryan.
I'm Josh.
And my voice is getting a little bit better. Also, Greg is not here today. He was here, but he decided to just say, "F y'all, I'm going." And no, he didn't do that. We're going to make a Greg soundboard soon enough, and we'll be able to put his best of quotes in there whenever he needs to talk. So who knows?
Greg just decides sometimes that he's better than everyone and just doesn't want to come hang out.
Oh, well. Sorry, Greg.
Bye, Greg.
So, actually, he might not want to be here because of the content of today's episode.
That's fair.
So, I think we've already covered a Grossmiths episode, and it seemed that people were at least disgustingly interested enough for us to merit a second one.
That's a good one. I like it.
It was the last one was pretty bad, and this one's on par, if not worse, I think. It really depends on whose research ended up with what. So we're going to go ahead and jump right into it, just get into the little nitty-gritty and the creepies and crawlies and all sorts of stuff like that. So, Josh, you want to kick us off?
Sure.
Oh, actually, before we kick off, I just want to make a quick announcement. We are actually going to be at the Potter and Love podcast convention in New Orleans from August 10th to 12th. There's going to be a bunch of other Dark Myths members there, too. You're going to get to see a lot of our Louisiana friends. And you may just get to see our first live show. So hold on to that one right there. And I think next episode we're going to have a promotional code for everybody, for anybody that wants to buy tickets to it. So please come hang out with us. We'll give you the whole deal. It'll be fun.
And one other thing before we get into the episode, a couple housekeeping notes.
Josh does not know shit about rugby. We know.
Apparently, people were very upset, I'm looking at you, Mike, for my take on rugby, comparing it to football. And I understand where you're coming from. I was just trying to give a very simple visual representation of, you know, comparing two sports that involve very similar activities. So I wasn't trying to say football and rugby are the same thing, because that's very much not it. But if it did come across that way, I apologize.
Too simple, man. No, too simple. It was too simple, and you're going to get a special penalty shot for that.
We're going
to punt a rugby ball at your head, once with a helmet and once without, just to keep in context of the episode.
That's fine. I'll be a man about it. The other thing, I said Jim Miller was the quarterback of the 85 Bears. It was Jim McMahon. I was wrong about that. We'll take a penalty shot on that. I described a perfect game in baseball.
You have a laundry list of this.
I know. I described a perfect game. I believe I said a pitcher has 27 batters and it's 27 outs. While that's still technically correct, I didn't go into enough depth about what it means is that no batter actually reaches base. You can still have 27 batters and 27 outs. It was very nitpicky, but it technically is correct. I just really didn't want to sit there and explain the whole lore of what a perfect game was. I was trying to move along the content, but you know what? It's fair. It is a very fair gripe to have.
How appropriate for you to get three strikes on the sports episode.
Yeah, I'm out, man. I'm out. So, on to tonight's episode. My first topic this evening is one that Ryan described in absolute horror to me and Greg, and I wasn't very thrilled about researching it, but
you're acting like you guys didn't approve these topics.
I mean, we did. When you read about it on the surface, you're like, oh boy, this isn't going to be good. So my first topic this evening is there is a fish called the Kandiru.
It's actually in Venture Brothers. They reference it.
Oh, nice. Okay. There's a fish, the Kandiru, that can enter through the penis region hole of a man or of a woman. It can go both ways. Typically, when talking about entering in through a human, it's typically men for whatever reason. I don't know why, but it has been said that it can happen to women as well.
I don't get it. Why it's just men? The women have more options.
It's a closer proximity of entrances. I'm on board. So let's lay this out for everyone here. People allege that there is a fish that can swim upstream where things normally go downstream. Now, my first question was, Ryan, where did you hear about this?
I don't want to say it was originally Venture Brothers, but
I'd be okay if it was.
It's one of those nebulous things where there's no way I can pinpoint exactly where I got scarred by this little fact and never want to go into Amazon again.
So, yeah, again.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. I've never been to Amazon. Why I stayed far away from that river.
Okay, well, this myth actually does have some credence and veracity to it. It was featured in multiple documentaries on Animal Planet, on the BBC, and apparently it even made its way into Grey's Anatomy, from what I've been told.
Oh, because those medical or forensic shows are always the most reputable of sources. They are the bastion of accuracy.
I will stand by Scrubs, but that's about it.
Apparently, Scrubs doesn't get too much shit for being
depicting the medical field.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, but I don't know. I don't get how Grey's Anatomy still is a show anyway. They had a musical. I don't know. I don't know enough about it, but so don't at me, Grey's Anatomy fans.
Or do.
That's fine. Regardless, people identify the Candiru, which is a type of freshwater catfish, by the way. I didn't know that.
So from what I remember of what the Candiru looked like, just in my head, I may have seen the wrong thing. It just looks like a tiny little sliver of a fish, pretty much. Like, almost like an anchovy, except, I guess, slimmer. It's a catfish?
Yeah, it's
a type. Well, I guess it can be tiny catfish.
It's a type of freshwater catfish in the Amazon. But this might help you out. It's also known as the toothpick fish or the vampire fish. But they're actually about 16 inches long.
Really?
Yeah. Or they can get to that big.
So you got to be Ron Jeremy sizes for them to really efficiently get up there.
Well, we'll get into that. That's a good point. We'll get into that. Well, the reason they call them the vampire fish, though, is because it latches on to larger fish and feeds on the blood off of their gills.
Oh, I thought it was because they turned to dogs whenever they wanted to.
Yeah, or but bats. then they couldn't look up then.
Oh, they couldn't. That's right. Never mind.
So the origin of this goes back a very long time. But I believe that I found...
Can you imagine if Dracula just turned into a Candiru on the spot, in the middle of the night?
People would be very confused. It just flopping out of water on the ground.
blah, 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 blah.
It's so stupid. So this myth goes back a long time, but I believe that I found the actual origin of where it got very popular. There was a paper published in the American Journal of Surgery by Eugene Willis Gudger. I have no idea if that's correct, but that's what I'm going with.
We need to count how many times we say that.
I can never pronounce anything correctly. I had no idea it was called the Candiru. I was taking a shot in the dark. I'm just glad it was right. This paper was published in 1930, and it reads, quote, "Throughout the Amazon Valley for more than 100 years, the tale has been told of a fish that has the uncanny habit of penetrating the urethra of men and women bathers, particularly if they should pass urine while in the water."
Interesting.
Now, this reminds me of back in the day. Well, Ryan, you were a lifeguard. When you would go to a public pool.
And I'm waiting to see how this relates.
Well, the lifeguards would tell you couldn't pee in the pool because the area around you would turn a different color.
That's literally a topic on this episode.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I don't read the topics. Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh, shit. Okay. My bad. More about that later. Stay tuned, Rumor Flies Nation. Wow. Okay. So while this wasn't the first writing about the Candiru, I do believe it was the first publication to really get traction and really pick up steam in the modern world. There was also a German botanist who wrote about Amazon men tying their urethras shut when hanging around the water with coconut shells and palm branches.
See, this is interesting that you say that from the 1930s, because this is, I think, a little bit after the time of when people were calling Africa the Dark Continent still. Wait, not Africa. We're talking about the Amazon, aren't we?
Yeah.
Still. The exploration time when there were still lands to be discovered and such, you know? Well, by white people. Yeah.
That's fair.
So, you can write down just about anything you want. And it was a time where people were just figuring out stuff. I think in the early 1900s, don't quote me on this one because I didn't have to research this part. But I remember that there was some research done on, I think, Arctic or Antarctic penguins that was withheld for 40 or something years because the researcher that was in there observing them found out that they could be gay and or necrophilic. Oh. And they thought that the public could not deal with that information about penguins. So they withheld it for a very long time. But also, like I said, these explorers, they want to be able to capitalize on what they went over there. I mean, if they found something cool, great, they can write about it. If not, cool, they can write something that doesn't make any sense or isn't even true because nobody's going to question them because it's extremely difference. Expensive to go there.
Yeah.
So that's what I was thinking about with the Candiru. I mean, the piranhas, you know, eating men alive, you just like jump in for a second type of, you know, that thing.
We're gonna get into those bad boys in a few minutes. But yeah, so coconut shells and palm branches is what they use to kind of protect themselves, which make do with what you got. I understand it. If that wasn't
protect your coconuts with the coconuts.
That's right. If that wasn't scary enough, there were some writings about the fish leaping out of the water and going upstream of the urine into the urethra, which you mentioned when we first started hashing this out.
Yeah.
You talked about hearing about fish jumping out the water.
I think the purest form of a rumor is what you say before you even look up anything about it.
Well, yeah. So I like that. We'll kind of dissect that in a little bit. But to me, out of all of this, the worst part is that the main remedy for removing the fish, you want to take a guess what it is?
If it's anything like the worm that we were talking about in the last Growthsmiths episode, you know what? I don't know. Maybe just like kind of like kink the hose and just push it out.
Oh, you kink
kind
the hose.
Kind of like you do with a like a go-gurt.
You kink the hose, but you cut it off.
That's not removing the fish. That's removing
everything. Oh, no. You're technically removing the fish.
Well,
you're removing everything with it. Because they say that if the fish latches on in there, you want to cut it off as soon as possible. So that way it doesn't get into your urinary tract and cause infections, which will kill you.
Can I reiterate that there is a 16-inch long fish that you couldn't pull out from the tail? That's like the length of an uncut ramen noodle. Like, I'm sorry. I don't care how much you exaggerate. Usually people stop at saying their dick is a foot long. You still got 4 inches to pull from after that. Cut it off?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
We'll get into that. These are all simply tales. You know, there's nothing to say that any of this is true. This is just passed along word of mouth or just written about as hearsay. One scientist was describing doing research about this very topic. And when he was talking to different tribes throughout the Amazon, they told him he was upriver. And they said, you need to go downriver, because they were the victims of this unfortunate attack. So then he would go downstream from where he was. And when he got downstream, do you know what would happen?
They weren't there?
No, they were there.
They told him to go down. They were passing the buck?
No, they told him to go upstream because that's where all the victims were.
They don't want they don't want anybody that is nearly the color of an eggshell around them. It's all bad news.
No, but the thing was is that they said, well, yeah, the people that were bit, they're downstream. So we'd go downstream and like, oh, no, that's the people upstream. Those are the ones who got bit by the Gendiru. Those are the ones you got to go look for. So it was nothing got accomplished. Okay. So the meat and potatoes of this, pun intended, scientists at the University of Connecticut at Avery Point, which I never understood that. If you're the University of Texas at San Antonio, UTSA, you're still the University of Texas.
Yeah.
I never really understood why you have to put where it's at. They decided to test this myth without putting anyone's ding dong at risk, basically. It was theorized that
they used a dildo instead. They just left in a fish tank with a bunch of Candiru.
More or less, that's kind of what they did.
Next to a fleshlight, of course.
Yes, yes, yes. Did they have fleshlights back then? Or did they just take like a can and put two pieces of soap?
I'm sure there was a rudimentary form.
Yeah. It was theorized that waste ammonia was actually what was secreted from these fish. And that was what allowed the Candirus to locate their food. So they set some up in a tank with some waste ammonia. And then nothing happened. The fish didn't react to any of the chemicals. What was interesting, you know what got them to be hungry and eat their food?
What?
Looking at a goldfish. Just seeing it in front of them and like, oh, I guess I'm hungry. I'm going to eat that right now. So basically, it just proves, at least to me, that this is completely false. And when you think about it, this makes complete sense. Kind of going back to the Ron Jeremy aspect of this. If you're peeing and a fish is going to swim upstream and go inside of you, it has to swim faster than what is coming out of you.
Oh, that's true.
Okay. So that's a lot of force. And then first off, it's not going to be able to do that. And then even if it was, kind of back to the Ron Jeremy thing, like I was saying, that's a lot of fish to fit inside of you. It's a very small opening. I don't know if most people know that, but the urethra is not very big. So the fact that fish that is much, much wider than your average urethra hole, it's not going to be able to fit in there. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm just like kind of processing this logically step by step.
I'm unfortunately getting flashbacks of kids in a sandbox.
Oh,
people
no.
Don't look that up. No, just don't do it. I'm not cutting this, but just, you know what? I'm just going to light the wick and you can choose to put it out or not. Just don't go to that. Don't look it up.
The internet was a weird time back then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm thinking of all of them.
Yeah, I know.
We're in Grossmiths. We can do this. We can talk about it. They got Tub Girl.
Meat Spinner.
Meat Spin, yeah, they had that one too. Blink-182.com.
Yes. Blue Waffle.
Oh, God. So many bad things. And there's the whole Pain Olympics, which I just never brought myself
to watching. I didn't either.
I don't care how real or fake it is. If there was even a chance of it being, no thank you.
I don't want to deal with that.
Oh, that scene from Hostel 2. Ugh.
I refuse to watch that. I don't like any of the Hostel movies.
They're gratuitous at best.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
I like Eli Roth, but that's about as far as it goes. So anyway. Back to all of this. To put a nice bow on it, it's not true. The Kandiru was never really able to swim upstream and swim inside of anyone. There was conflicting reports about a man in 1997 who came into a hospital and had a Kandiru latched onto his member, but it wasn't inside of it. And that is about the only case of where something like that happened.
Get a pair of scissors, dude. You don't want to go to a hospital for that.
Well, apparently it was very painful and he couldn't get it off. I don't know. That's why I said conflicting reports, because some people say that it was buried in there, and then other people say no, it was just latched on the tip. And I don't know.
Well, at least you had something that was, you know, cursory close to it.
Yeah. And kind of back to what you were saying about piranhas, that's one thing that I think is actually an issue, is the language barrier. And people from these native Amazon tribes might be talking about piranhas when they're saying Kandiru.
No, we didn't mean the piranhas. We meant the long piranhas. Yeah. Everything in the water here we call a piranha or a Kandiru.
That's big piranha. That's small piranha.
This is drunk piranha, which is the Paku Paku.
But I think that's something that they didn't account for, was just the language barrier. When they were finally doing research and trying to figure all this stuff out, I think the language barrier played into it big time.
I think it was half that and half just trying to scare them away.
And that's also entirely possible. So if I'm putting my stamp on it, I'm going to say not true.
Well, one rumor, rest assured then. Mm-hmm. So, okay, cool.
Ryan, your next topic this evening?
Is going to be flesh-eating bananas. So the bananas part isn't too gross because I like bananas, but I would say the flesh-eating part is.
I like bananas.
I'm not really going to.
I was waiting. I threw it out there. I wanted to see if you're going to catch it.
No, I'm just throwing the hook away. Anyway, so we're talking about flesh-eating bananas, which it's a pretty simple myth. For a while, there's a chance of catching some flesh-eating bacteria from eating bananas.
I like the idea of what I envisioned when I first heard about this, which is the banana peel opening up and just eating an arm.
Oh, that would be crazy. Dude, yeah. We need to make like a really shitty sci-fi movie for that. Oh,
like a C-minus movie. Not like a B movie, like a C-minus.
Oh, just be ballparking names in your head, and hopefully somebody else can come up with a better name than even we do by the end of this.
Okay.
So anyway, what we're going to be talking about, it's going to start from an email. This is just going to be an example of it, because I think it says it better than I usually can, which is kind of paraphrasing the myth. So from an email, several shipments of bananas from Costa Rica have been infected with necrotizing fasciitis. I know I pronounced that one right, because I've heard it a lot from my dad.
I was going to say that's where I've heard it.
Who worked in the medical field.
Yes.
He just didn't talk about that randomly.
Yeah, I guess we need to point that out.
Yeah.
He just had a real weird obsession with it.
Dude, check out this prisoner that caught it. Otherwise known as flesh-eating bacteria. Recently, this disease has decimated the monkey population in Costa Rica.
Oh.
We are now just learning that the disease has been able to graft itself to the skin of fruits in the region, most notably the banana, which is Costa Rica's largest export. Until this finding, scientists were not sure how the infection was being transmitted.
That's like the weirdest version of World War Z that I've ever heard.
Well, so I want to think of like this, just like the he's like, well, we killed all the monkeys. What should we go to? Oh, what were they eating? Bananas. I actually just put that one in my head. Like, I didn't think there was a relation between bananas and monkeys.
Yeah.
But there's totally a relation between bananas and monkeys.
Yeah, I didn't get it until you said it.
Monkeys don't really eat bananas that much. It's too high. It's too high sugar for their diet, or something like that. I don't remember.
Wait, are you telling me that Donkey Kong's full of shit?
Wait, yeah, pretty much. But he was a gorilla. Is he a gorilla? He's kind of monkey colored, but he's a gorilla.
And not only that, there's a level in the new Super Mario Odyssey called New Donk
Back
City.
Back to bananas.
It shouldn't be called New Monk City. It's New Donk City.
So. There's also an article from the wonderful publication called The Weekly World News. And I may have posted this on Twitter at some point, but I have a copy of The Weekly World News, my favorite one with, like, this is how dated it is. Saddam's secret weapons of mass destruction, raptors. And it just shows, like,
I remember that.
Velociraptors in the desert. That wasn't, it wasn't the nukes or the chemical weapons. It was just straight up raptors.
That's got to be, like, that's got to seriously be 17, 18 years old. I remember when you got that.
Yeah, at least. So, the Weekly World News says, I took the juicy bits from it.
Okay.
Maputo, Mozambique. So, we've already changed locations.
Oh, okay.
Mozambique is in Africa, if anybody's wondering.
I didn't know.
Flesh-eating bananas have claimed the lives of over 700 citizens. sales of bananas in Maputo have plummeted following an outbreak of flesh-eating bananas that have... I'm just saying that. Like, not even the bacteria. It's the bananas themselves. You're putting the blame on them. That have claimed the lives of hundreds of citizens infested with the lethal banana bacteria. Say that 17 times fast. The bananas sold in Maputo are grown in Mozambique. Mozambique exports bananas to South Africa. But this has made no difference to panic-stricken consumers who are avoiding the fruit altogether. Oddly enough, if you put the bananas in pancakes, the bacteria is no longer lethal. So, authorities are encouraging all citizens to eat banana pancakes.
See, this is the kind of remedies that I can get behind.
This is actually... this is how the CDC should do things. Instead of completely getting rid of, like, spinach altogether because of, say, something like salmonella, you don't want to hurt the spinach economy. You need to just have, like, deep-boiled spinach and artichoke dip.
See, now, on the flip side of that, people are going to say, do you vaccinate your children? And I'm going to say, no, but they eat banana pancakes. So, those are equal in my eyes.
So, the next paragraph, and I don't even want to call it a paragraph because it's like a sentence and a half that is under the picture. Like, they almost try to put it off as like the footnote for the picture that nobody reads, which it was just like a picture of a banana with brown spots, like regular bruising on a banana. It said that
that's what they want you to think.
They mention it being a hoax, but then it continues with the rest of the story as if they had just glanced right over that and, like, somebody put that in after the fact and was just like, they're not going to see it. They're going to keep reading it. It's whatever.
No one reads this.
Now, here is my favorite paragraph from this entire story. Number one, this is not real. Like, regardless of the rest of the rumor, the Weekly World News, I don't know put out a shred of real. These are the people that invented Bat Boy. So.
Did they invent Bat Boy?
Yeah, Bat Boy was made by the Weekly World News.
Okay. Now, well, I mean. We've known about Weekly World News because I remember reading it as kids.
It was awesome. So sad that it's not around anymore.
It was okay.
Fun fake news.
Yeah, exactly. And for those of you who don't know, like when you went to the grocery store and you saw these really asinine stuff like Bat Boy Returns.
So now just see stuff like with the Inquirer, where it's just like celebrity gossip. Like, yeah, it's nothing fun. It's just like salacious that some person will read and if they'll. This show happens. That's what happens.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
This stuff is just so ridiculous.
Yeah. It's the stuff that you thought were like, there's no way that's true. Like Sasquatch Returns. They loved Bigfoot. I remember they loved Bigfoot.
It's stuff that you would like just want to be true so badly.
Like random stuff like Bigfoot has a family.
Yeah.
or just random shit like that. Anyway, it was the asinine news headlines you would see when you're checking out at the grocery counter.
Turns out Bigfoot is actually an immigrant from Kashyyyk. So. Oddly enough, just thinking about this, there was a random one-off Indiana Jones comic where he was searching for Sasquatch, and he finds this weird, like, Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull, what is it? It was, like, structure.
Huh, okay.
And he goes in there and he finds somebody with, like, an arrow through their chest and stuff. But the weird part is the clothes on the skeleton look a lot like Han Solo's. And then later on you see a treetop. It's just like you see Bigfoot in the corner out of Indiana Jones' view, and it's Chewie.
Is it? Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Okay.
It's not part of canon, though. So
that's fine.
So the paragraph that's my favorite. The Ministries of Health, Agriculture, and Trade issued a joint statement on Wednesday stating that there is infected bananas that I'm not reading this weird. It says there is infected bananas are being dealt with and removed. Meet at later bar. We will soon have the country filled with only good, non-lethal bananas. The Minister of Bananas guaranteed to ensure that bananas would be peeled and eaten again soon.
I just want to point this out. The Ministries of Health, Agriculture, and Trade.
Oh, you're just going to go ahead and pass over the Minister of Bananas?
Well, no.
I forgot to mention the Mayor of Corn. And then
working my way down. The Ministries of Health, Agriculture, and Trade. Hat?
Yeah, hat. There you go. And there's also, you know, the Secretary of Succotash.
Yeah.
And the Bureau of Broccoli. And then
you're having too much fun with that.
No, I love them.
And then I was getting to the Minister of Bananas. Who? Okay, Ryan, pop question. Pop quiz question. Whatever. Who would be the Minister of Bananas?
Ooh, Donkey Kong.
I was going to say, but to be more realistic, would you say Caesar?
Well, I guess so.
From Planet of the Apes?
Are you saying that just because he's CGI, that he's a little bit more realistic?
So by proxy, it's Andy Serkis, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Andy Serkis, Minister of Bananas.
We will harass him on Twitter about being the Minister of Bananas.
Just tweet Andy Serkis saying hashtag Minister of Bananas.
So let's get down to brass tacks. In December 1999, this originated.
Actually, add hashtag not my hot dog while you're at it.
Chain of all the ridiculous things that we've said. Andy Serkis, when will you be running for Minister of Bananas, and who will be your, what is it, Vice Minister? Hashtag not my hot dog. Hashtag no more Josh. Hashtag no more Greg.
Oh, Christ. Okay.
We've been harassing Gordon Ramsay. All of you, seriously, keep asking him.
Yeah.
Is a beignet? No, just make it simple. Is a donut a pastry?
Is a donut a pastry?
Yeah, because beignets is a little bit specific.
Yeah. I got that.
But we all agree that beignets are donuts. They're in the same category.
Yeah. I would link them.
We're not going into this right now.
I would link them more to funnel cakes. I'll just.
We're not going into this right.
I'll leave it there.
So anyway, the origin is that it's originated the early sources from 1999 email chain, and the one that I had read at the beginning of the segment seems to be the original one.
Okay.
There is no name attached to it. But there is certainly science attached to it. So it turns out that necrotizing fasciitis is a very much very real bacteria.
That's a real thing, yes.
That can infect a lot of people, and there have been outbreaks of it for various different reasons. However, it's not ever been associated with bananas. Let's go ahead and talk about why would it get on banana peels? You peel the skins of the bananas and you're okay to eat it?
That's a fair point.
And also, it's flesh-eating bacteria. You want a substrate for something to grow in. Like any sort of virus or any sort of bacteria,
it's gotta
needs
have
something it needs a vector.
I was going to say
an
it needs
appropriate
a culture.
Disease vector,
right? A culture to grow in.
Yes, a substrate. Right? Mm-hmm. And monkeys make sense.
Yeah, I get that.
However,
that.
There was never any record of a decimation of a monkey population in Costa Rica aside from deforestation. So okay. It wasn't anything like a bunch of necrotizing fasciitis got on monkeys and killed them. Also, I would deign to think that. Necrotizing fasciitis is a little bit in particular. It will just go on skin, most skins in general.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it works off of. Now, why would it go on a banana skin? It's not the same composition of a mammal skin whatsoever.
Yeah.
So that already deconstructs that a good bit. And also, I didn't list them, but in that first email chain that I showed, all the universities that were listed that did the research on this straight up don't exist.
Oh, I wish we had a list of them.
It was some university in Germany that they listed, but they spelled it completely wrong. Or they like the article that I was reading had to like approximate what the original email chain may have meant.
Hmm.
So this thing is completely not true. Bananas are completely safe. But I really like the little bit of flash that the Weekly World News put in there. They made it fun. Eat banana pancakes instead.
Like, yeah, that's a different type of fear mongering.
It's like cooking out salmonella or cooking out just whatever bad things that you would have in steak. You know, I like that little flair that they put to that story.
Well, and not only that, like when you come to stories like this, like don't eat bananas, like, okay, whatever. But when it comes to something like this, when they're like, the remedy is banana pancakes.
Well, also going off of this, can you imagine like doing this research? I think for both of us, we've been a little bit scarred.
Yes.
Don't look up necrotizing fasciitis.
No.
Turns out that brown recluse has necrotizing fasciitis.
That's where I know it from, unfortunately. And not that I got bit, but just
because
I'm... Brown
recluse bites are disgusting. And the worst part is that they are local to us. And they're aggressive. Anyway, Josh, let's continue with you.
My next topic this evening...
has a disclaimer.
Does it?
Technically, this one's gross in a certain... I think most people would consider this kind of gross.
I would consider this absurd. I would consider it gross from the standpoint of physically altering yourself. Well,
it's the length of some people having to get a certain like bone in their foot removed to wear a certain type of shoe, which apparently is a thing.
I didn't know that.
We might have to put that in a topic one day.
Yeah, maybe. We'll revisit that.
Body modification is accepted at different levels, regardless of what you're doing, whether it be a piercing or a tattoo.
Even scarification.
Yeah, scarification, which I actually think is kind of cool.
I think it's interesting, yeah.
In the artistic sense, not the tattoos, not just somebody just like cutting themselves up and scarring.
No, yeah.
But there are some lengths that are, I would say, dangerous ones is the ones where it's considered gross, where it is invasive for the most part.
And not only that, I'll say this, when it comes to this series of topics, kind of like your last one with the banana pancakes, it was a little bit more lighthearted.
Yeah.
And I think that's okay.
It is strange. Let's just go ahead and tell them.
Okay. So this one's actually a twofer.
The second part is just a very small thing that isn't gross. It's just kind of funny. Yeah.
It's just fun. So my topic this evening, the main focus of it, is Marilyn Manson had two ribs removed so he can suck his own dick.
Never more eloquently put.
I'm just going to call for what it is. And I actually found...
This might be one of the least controversial things about Marilyn Manson.
You know, I'll get into Marilyn Manson after. There's actually a quote from a fan named Keith Rathbone.
Way to call him out.
Yeah, well, they wrote an article about him, so I don't mind saying his name. He managed to ask Marilyn Manson about the truth and the validity of removing his ribs.
Really?
Yes. And they even have the exact quote from how the conversation went. And it went something like this. Keith, for years, it was rumored that you had a rib removed to achieve self-fellatio. Obviously, that's nonsense. But have you ever tried to suck your own cock? That's his exact quote.
Wow.
Oh, Manson won better. Marilyn Manson responded, wow. Does Keith get money if I answer this? No comment, Keith, you c***t.
Wow.
Yeah. That was, that's out the horse's mouth itself.
So that isn't an answer yet, though.
No, I have an answer. It was actually answered in Marilyn Manson's autobiography. He wrote an autobiography called The Long, Hard Road Out of Hell.
Well, he started that one off well.
Oh, it gets better. He writes, quote, if I really got my ribs removed, I would have been busy sucking my own dick on the Wonder Years instead of chasing Winnie Cooper.
Wow.
Which leads me to my next topic this evening. Nice segue. Thank you, Marilyn Manson. The second part of this is, which is a little bit more lighthearted, people believe that Marilyn Manson was Paul from the Wonder Years.
And if you look at a comparison of Marilyn Manson's high school picture...
That's what I was going to say. If you look at a young Marilyn Manson and you look at Paul from the Wonder Years, they look nearly fucking identical.
Yeah.
It's scary how close they look in resemblance.
I just love how self-aware this guy is.
Oh, absolutely.
Number one, for anybody that isn't already aware, I think it's kind of gotten around the internet a good bit. Marilyn Manson's actually a pretty respectable dude on and off camera. I mean, I know we talked about him just calling a fan a c***t, but at the same rate, they came at him.
Well, and the thing is, when the whole Columbine shooting went down, they talked to Marilyn Manson about it because people blamed him as one of the reasons for the shooters, Dylan
Klebold and Eric Harris.
Yes. I'm sorry. I forgot their names.
Who? Minnesota. They were not outcasts. They were just assholes.
No, they were complete assholes. I would love to cover that one
day. Aside from the shooting part, they were still just assholes.
Yeah, no. All shooting aside. they actually blamed Marilyn Manson's music as one of the influences on these kids because they wore trench coats and they listened to his music or whatever, whatever, whatever. And so people asked them, they said, what would you say to Dylan and Aaron right now if you had the chance? And you know, his response was, I wouldn't say anything. I would just listen because nobody else did.
There you go.
And to me, like when I first read that, I got goosebumps because I'm like, that is something that nobody seems to understand. And I'm not saying that Marilyn Manson's not a weird dude or anything like that. He's a unique individual. He has a very interesting personality.
You know, I feel like I've talked about this before, but just in case I haven't, there was a disgusting amount of Tumblr groups that I've seen, or even Twitter groups, that like sanctify there's the whole incels thing that sanctify what's his name? The Rogers kid, Elliot Roger, the one that shot a bunch of kids in California, the virgin killer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But Dylan Klebold and Eric Harris have this crazy cult following because they were the outcast bad boys and they were just misunderstood. No, they weren't. If you look at some of their tapes, they are going on with straight up white nationalist shit the entire time. So just before you call them like the misunderstood ones, yeah, how misunderstood are they about just, you know, hating a lot of people that aren't exactly them? So just think about that.
But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. Is Marilyn Manson sucking his own dick or nah?
No, he is not. But isn't that quote amazing? That is such a good quote, because I mean, not only does it segue into the second part of this, but like you said, he's so self-aware and he has the wherewithal to be like, yeah, I know what people are saying, so I'm going to throw it right back at him.
For the record, I don't think that any plastic surgeon in the entire United States or world would be willing to do such a risky surgery. You know, maybe I shouldn't say that.
I disagree with that. If you throw enough money at something, it's going to happen.
Yeah, but also, I mean, like, I don't think it's a rib thing. I think it's a spine thing, really.
Yeah, that's fair. I didn't really look into the...
There's some people can do a really good yoga, but I've seen contortionists. But I think that you might be able to do it with a lot of practice, but I think that's... You get the ribs out, that's cheating, man.
I can agree with that. When it comes to both of these rumors... Well, actually, let me stop that. Okay, so when it comes to Marilyn Manson being Paul in the Wonder Years, it was really easy to debunk. Manson's real name is Brian Warner. Believe it or not, his birth name was not Marilyn Manson. The actor who portrayed Paul was Josh Saviano. So it's two different people. While they do really resemble each other a lot, like we said before, it's completely and utterly fabricated. They're two different people. So
that's what they want you to think.
That's, yeah. So I don't know where either one of these rumors started. There was talk about...
I think I know where the rumor started with the Wonder Years thing. Somebody just looked at a picture of both of them.
Well, I was going to say, I think that's where a lot of people get it from, is because they saw pictures of a young Marilyn Manson. They're like, wasn't that the fucking guy in the Wonder Years? And I think it just kind of snowballed from there. But when it comes to the actual removing his own ribs to suck his own dick, people point to an arrest in December of 1994, I believe is what it was, where Manson was arrested because it was some kind of sexual absurdity that he was arrested for. I forget the actual charge.
Lewdness.
It was basically what happened was they arrested him because he was, there's no elegant way to put this, he was sucking off a member, a bassist of another band. But it wasn't a real penis, it was a dildo. And they didn't, and nobody knew except for the two of them. So they thought it was a real act going on at his concert, and so they arrested him.
Oh, he got hangovered. Like the end credits of the...
Yeah. But so a lot of people point to that as being the origin of this, but I don't really see how that correlates. I didn't see enough about it to really make me say, well, I can see where that comes from. But that's just me. If you find something else that is very direct and pinpoints where this removing of his ribs comes from, tweet at us, get at us. You know how to get in contact with us. But that's my own thing. Yeah, this one was a little bit more lighthearted. It was a little bit more fun. But it was a nice break from my last topic this evening. But
and just as a final disclosure, there is nothing gross about sucking dick. Is there something gross about getting surgery so that you can do that to yourself?
Yeah, I will stand by that. Yeah. I don't know. That's an extreme body modification.
Writing that down in quotes that, yeah, I never thought I would say.
Good thing Greg's not here. Okay, Ryan, your next topic this evening.
All right, this one's pretty quick and dirty. So we're going to talk about, as Josh had mentioned beforehand.
Sorry.
The pool water pee detector.
Well, you were a lifeguard.
Yeah.
So did you ever see the water change colors? And I'm not talking about purple or blue, but did you ever see like when somebody was peeing and it changed colors?
Yes, I have x-ray pee vision for the most part. I can't talk about this. I can't give you a straight answer without covering the topic first.
Okay.
I didn't have anybody have like that much dehydration that I saw the water turn like orange from how much of a cloud was coming out.
Well, but I don't know if you were like supervising a kiddie pool or something and they all pissed at the same time.
I always had to do that. What are you talking about?
Okay. I meant like the small ones though that like you buy from Walmart.
Yes, I had to sit on a lifeguard stand in front of a less than a foot tall baby pool. Okay. Well, I mean, technically you can drown in any amount of water.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's, I guess, kind of reasonable. But at that point, I would just be like jumping from the ropes onto the kid if it was the baby pool like that. That'd be...
Watch out, watch out, watch out! That's Undertaker's music.
I'd be like, what's his name, Bret Hart?
Oh,
I'd break my own neck doing that.
Too soon.
Kevin Hart. No, not Kevin.
Yes, no, it was Kevin Hart. Yes, it was. It was Kevin Hart.
I don't have my hearts right. So the idea of this myth is that if you pee in a pool, there is...
I'm just imagining Kevin Hart,
doing
in a, like a Nacho Libre outfit just coming down from the top rope.
Doing the Hell in a Cell.
Okay, sorry, continue.
So, the idea behind this myth is that there is a magical chemical that can detect when people are peeing in a pool because when it comes in contact with urine in a pool, it turns the urine a different color.
Okay.
Like, blue is generally what I've heard, like a deep blue or purple.
Like a dye.
Yeah, it, like, looks like a dye. Clearly, it's like a tracking device. It's like... You
robbing a bank, except with your pee.
You robbed the piss bank, and the cartridge just exploded all over you. Like, you were just getting shamed. And the deal is, if you think about it, when you get out the pool, you'll have that water and dye that's still on your bathing suit, so you'll make a trail all the way back to wherever you...
I never thought about that.
Yeah, people will be able to find... It'll be dyeing the floor and everything like that. You'll just have pee trails everywhere. So, it's pretty embarrassing to think about it.
Does it change different, like, levels of color based on how dehydrated you are?
I've never, maybe.
I'm just saying.
Depending on if it's real. Mm-hmm. So a little bit of origins. This started in the 20th century is the most solid that I could get. Okay. Either it is some say the 30s or some say the 50s. Why I say between that is because I say 30s in a 1985 biography of Orson Welles. Yes, Orson Welles.
I don't know where this is going.
I'm about to get to you. You know what? I was going to just write down my note, but I'll just paraphrase what Orson Welles has said in the biography. Yes, when I was at the public pool with my friends, we took the chemical with the pee and we fed it to them, and then they were peeing in the pool, and yes, there was just the finest wine-colored dye in the middle of the pool because they had urinated all over their trunks. Pretty much... In the biography, it says he played this prank on his friends, and they pissed the pool, and inevitably, they were just surrounded by, quote, raspberry-colored clouds of water and piss.
Okay.
So, that's where and this was in the 1930s that he said.
Okay.
So...
Almost 100 years ago.
This was written in the 80s, but this is saying it happened in the 30s, so I'm not sure where the veracity of that happening came from, but the one that more commonly gets around is, like, an email... saying that in 1958, this guy's parents said that there was a peeing in the pool incident where his parents said that the country club had just implemented this new chemical in the pool.
Okay.
My version that I've heard of it was that you have to drink this one precursor chemical first. Like the country clubs would mix this in with their Diet Coke or something. Or
spike the water or something.
Yeah, spike the water with it. So your pee isn't going to turn blue in the pool unless you drink this first.
It's kind of like Always Sunny when Charlie's drinking that beer and he's like, you taking acid, huh? No, I'm not taking acid. We'll put that in your beer.
What the hell was he... papers? That was a shitload of acid.
That's what I think of.
Yeah, so pretty much you're just like non-consensually putting like a potential toxin in somebody for to go in a pool.
Sounds like date rape.
And whether this is true or not, a lot of companies and country clubs have capitalized on this and said that there is the, quote, Wii Alert chemical. They put it up in signs in pools. It's kind of like a deterrent from pissing in the pools just because of public shame.
I was going to say, shame is a very powerful tool.
Now, I haven't seen this sign. I've maybe seen this sign like once. And I don't remember where or when. It was when I was little. But I remember seeing that sign once. So, I mean, why wouldn't you trust a country club that's giving you the pool rules? All the other things make sense. If you run alongside the side of the pool, you might slip and just crack your head open. So, if you pee in the pool, you might get embarrassed.
I follow.
But also, you know there's going to be that group of people that would just do it because it's funny. Like,
there's ain't nothing about shitting in the pool.
The baby Ruth in the pool. So, turns out that this chemical doesn't exist.
Oh, okay.
There is no record of it. You can't. There's nothing to sell. There's nothing to buy of it. There's no known distributors of this chemical. It is all hearsay. However, there obviously is a test for pee in a pool.
Yeah.
I'll get into that. It's interesting because it is not what I thought it was. So this test is a little bit of a roundabout. Instead of detecting something like urea or any other main component inside,
I would figure ammonia.
Ammonia, urea, any sort of like...
Yeah.
No, I don't think ammonia is too much in pee because that's toxic and pee is okay to drink. So if you think
that's
about
fair.
It that
I, way. I mean, I don't... to be fair, full disclosure, no penalty shot. I don't know what's in pee. I thought ammonia was.
I know urea is in there.
Okay.
But regardless, the way they do this is something that could have only happened in, I want to say the recent century or so. And this test actually detects for something called acesulfame. Potassium. And this is better known as, ding, 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 aspartame.
Cancer.
Or the blue packets. Yes, cancer. As soon as I searched acesulfame potassium on Google, the first things that came up were like, the deadliest sweetener, why you shouldn't eat these sweeteners. So apparently it's still a thing. We've already talked about aspartame on this podcast.
Yeah.
Go listen to one of our Food Myths episodes. It's in there. Just don't worry about it.
Pop quiz, which food episode is it?
Why are you asking me this? We already did the 50 for 50. We'd be so screwed if he asked us exactly what episode we did these on.
No.
We haven't had too many one-offs. So this artificial sweetener, it turns out that when this goes to the body, the reason why it is an artificial sweetener is because it tastes so sweet, but the body doesn't digest it the way it would with sugar. It passes through the body completely unaltered.
Really?
It does not come out as a metabolite. It goes in as aspartame and comes out as aspartame.
So it doesn't get broken down at all?
Pretty much.
Wow.
Just goes straight to your piss.
Well, I mean, it has to be broken down in some capacity. I mean, I understand that. But for the most part, it stays intact?
Yeah. And also, real quick, we're doing this as a gross myth because apparently a lot of people are grossed out about peeing in a pool.
I mean, I'd be grossed out. I mean, I do it, but I'd still be grossed out.
I've accepted that, like, if I've been in a pool before, whether I like it or not, I have drank piss at some point.
Yeah, there's no way around
it.
I
like it. Gross myths. So anyway, this is a kind of genius way of doing it. You pick a compound that would not naturally be in a pool unless you find, like, a janitor just going and pouring all the Equal packets into the pool as, like, his own version of the Boston Tea Party in the middle of the night.
No more Equal.
But that's how they find it. They detect it by just picking up the concentration of this artificial sweetener in the water and telling you how much there is in there. And there have been tests on it to kind of, like, ballpark how much piss is in a general pool. And I have the numbers for that.
Oh, wow.
Let's go ahead and guess. For an average, I'm going to say Australian 83,000 liter pool, which is roughly a third the size of an Olympic sized pool, which most people don't swim in.
Okay.
Take your regular like lap pool and cut that in half. That's half of an Olympic sized pool. So roughly that.
Okay.
What amount of urine do you think would be in 83,000 liters?
I would guess less than a half of a percent.
A half a percent of a liter?
Yeah.
No.
I'm just taking a guess here. I'm being...
That's fine. That's fine.
I have no idea.
Let's move it up. Give me solid numbers. Give me integers.
Like...
Because it's not a percentage of the liter. It's more than that.
Oh, God. 50 liters.
50 liters? You are optimistic. It's 75 liters, but you're not far away. I mean, if you think about that, 75 in 83,000 liters.
I was.
That's nothing.
I know, but I just imagine a lot of Coke, like liter, like 2 liters.
That's literally nothing. Like, it would pretty much be if I bought you a nice 2 liter of
cola.
Yeah, of cola. What's your favorite cola?
Coca-Cola.
All right, and I just did a little bit of a dribble into it before I gave it to you.
Gross.
It would still be less than that. Okay. It'd be way less than that proportionally. So you're not getting a whole lot of piss in your mouth.
Just don't do it in front of me.
Now, of course, hot tubs had higher ratios because it's a smaller volume of water.
I understand that.
That you would be pissing in. So,
I understand.
Number one, this is not true.
Okay.
That chemical is not true. But a last little factoid that I always like to put in. Pee, not chlorine, is what causes your eyes to go red from being in a pool.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Because what chlorine does is it attaches to nitrogen compounds inside of pools. And what chlorine is there initially to do is to kill bacteria,
right,
which will not be able to survive that harsh environment of water.
Right.
We can because we're a little bit less basic than bacteria.
Yeah.
When you pee, you have nitrogen compounds, one of them being urea, in your pee. The chlorine bonds to this, and it dilutes the amount of actual like pure chlorine or chlorine compounds in the pool,
and therefore
less bacteria is killed off, and that bacteria is what makes your eyes red.
Huh.
So, just a little factoid. Moving on, Josh.
So, you see someone like, dude, your eyes are so bloodshot right now. How high are you? No, I just peed in the tub earlier. Anyway, my last topic this evening was a very difficult one for me. A, because I didn't want to research it after about 30 seconds. And B, there's so many variations of it that it was very hard to sit there and narrow it down into one specific thing and go with the true, false, whatever, whatever. And it was just easier to kind of do an all-inclusive kind of thing. So my last topic this evening is maggots are able to live inside of your head.
And we say head because there's lots of versions of this.
Exactly. And that's what I was going to say. I've heard living in your brain, living in your ear, yada, yada, yada. And the bottom line here is that, yes, it's entirely possible. And there was one specific case.
Oh, joy.
That we were talking about, Ryan. You mentioned hearing something about, did you say a woman or am I making that up?
The one that sticks out the most in my head,
pun intended,
is a girl that apparently for a while started thinking she was like, hearing things in her head or having this weird like irritation or like almost like buzzing noise and like could not pinpoint it. Finally, she went to a doctor. Turns out that a maggot had just made a little cozy like studio apartment inside of her ear and she had to get it removed.
Okay. The TLDR is that's pretty much everything. Yeah.
No.
That's true.
No.
So, there was a woman named Rochelle Harris.
We covered the cockroaches and that wasn't true.
Yeah.
So we found something worse than it almost.
Yes. So there's a Daily Mail article features about this woman named Rochelle Harris from Derby, which is in the United Kingdom.
Well, and also we know the Daily Mail can be somewhat dodgy in its reputabilities, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I will admit
reputation,
that.
But still.
But I have every reason to believe that this is entirely true. She went on holiday in Peru, and she didn't really think much about the little headaches that she had when she was on her flight back to the United Kingdom.
Peruvian pan flute bands.
Yes. But within hours, she developed these excruciating shooting pains down one side of her face and started to hear strange scratching sounds inside of her head.
Oh, no, that part was true.
Uh-huh. The next morning, she woke up to a pillow soaked with fluid from her ear. So
just fluid, like non-distinct fluid?
Yeah.
I'd rather just blood. I'd rather just be bleeding out of my ear.
Well, she became increasingly concerned when she got home that there may be something seriously wrong, so she visited her local accident and emergency department at the hospital, which I think is their version of the ER.
She just started hearing things. Hey, you shouldn't eat a healthy diet. Hey, you should steal an ambulance and drive it into the river.
So initially, doctors weren't too concerned by her symptoms and presumed that they had developed because of a minor ear infection, or maybe she had an infected mosquito bite. So I'm sure she hoped this later on. She was referred to an ENT, an ear, nose, and throat doctor, who further investigated that the problem was a little bit more serious. So as her ear was being examined, the ENT specialist went very silent. The doctor found a small hole in the ear canal, which needed further investigation, but would not explain what the problem was, which I don't know what I would do in that situation. I don't know how I would handle it. Well, after almost an hour of silent treatment, Rochelle and her mother, who was there with her, asked if they were closer to a diagnosis. And
when they say silent treatment, do you mean like they're being punished for going to the hospital?
Basically, when they asked what was wrong, the doctor said, "If you don't mind, I prefer speaking to you at the register before I tell you anything." And basically, the doctor said, "You've got maggots in your ear." That was the bottom line. And they tried to get the maggots out, but the more the medics went into her ear, the more the maggot retreated back inside of her head. So they ordered an emergency brain scan to find out if there was any damage that had been done by the maggots, as well to determine how many there were in hiding.
I didn't even think about the fact there was probably multiple.
Yeah. There was a risk that they were going to her brain, and if one reached her brain, it could cause meningitis, which I don't have to sit here and tell you that that's not a good thing to have. So luckily, there was no damage to her eardrum or blood vessels or anything like that. But they did discover that maggots had chewed 12 millimeters into her ear canal.
That's disgusting. I don't care if 12 millimeters isn't even that long. It's longer than I'd want any maggot to crawl into my ear canal.
So they tried these different remedies, like pouring olive oil in there, and none of them budged. They were able to remove two of them, but they were very concerned that there was more in there. And when they decided to push farther in, they found what they described as a writhing mass of maggots.
You know, I'm not grossed out by a whole lot of things, but maggots just send me over the edge.
There was 8 in there total.
I don't care. If it's 1 or more, it's disgusting to me.
And they laid eggs inside of her.
No, I can't believe that one.
No.
How? It's a maggot.
The maggots were sent to a lab for immediate analysis, and where it was discovered that a New World Army screwworm fly had laid eggs inside of her.
Oh, yeah, the screwworm and then became the maggots. Yeah. Maggots themselves can't lay
eggs. Oh, no. Yeah, I'm sorry. But I'm saying there was more in there.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Can you name that fly again?
New World Army screwworm fly?
Sounds like something that Alex Jones would be fighting against, but all right. That's just such a weird name for something. I believe you, but like...
The Cochleomia harmonivorax, also known as the New World screwworm fly, or screwworm for short, is a species of parasitic fly that is well known, in which its larva eats the living tissue of warm-blooded animals.
So I don't know if this is coincidence or not, but you said the first part of the name was cochlea.
Mm-hmm.
That is directly related with the ear. In Latin, like cochlear implants, if you think about it. Technically, these maggots were cochlear implants as well.
Cool.
But yeah. So this is completely real?
Yes.
Jesus, man.
They were able to get them all out. But yeah. So that was one of the many true stories. There was a homeless woman who ran to the hospital because she was feeling all these pains. And upon further inspection, they found a bunch of maggots in there. There was an older gentleman who had this very rare tumor inside of his head. I believe it was a tumor. I have it in the show notes.
It's not the tumor. Had to.
I know. And he got into a car accident. He was 75. And they found like an abrasion on his head. So they sent him to get a scan. And when they did, they found a whole slew of maggots living inside of his head as well.
That's the best car accident that ever happened to him.
That was the best thing that ever happened to him. So... yeah, this one was hard for me to research. Basically, it is entirely possible to have maggots living inside of your head. It's entirely possible for them to chew through your ear canal to work its way inward.
Lovely.
Yeah. So I hope you all understand, I didn't really want to dive too deep into this, but
they did.
The bottom line is that it is very much true.
Great. I guess I'll wrap it up. So I guess I'm just going to call this segment Babe's Revenge. So, and this is the myth that pigs will eat humans alive. We're just in general eat humans.
I've heard that if you die next to a pig, the pig will eat your body, or variations of that.
So I've heard that for a lot of different animals. I've heard it for dogs and cats, but apparently dogs take a lot longer to do it than cats. Like,
I've heard
dogs will wait till they're starving to start eating you if you die in the apartment with them, but cats will just be like, free meal. Just go straight for it.
Wow.
So there's this, it's a TV trope, it turns out. This was in Hannibal, the movie, and the book. Rambo, the show Deadwood, CSI, Criminal Minds, Bones, and probably every other forensic show you have ever thought of.
Wasn't that Napoleon or something like that in Limetown?
Did he eat people in Limetown?
I want to say he did, but I don't remember.
Napoleon from Animal Farm did, and he was just a dick.
I knew that, but I want to say in Limetown, some, I don't remember. It's entirely possible.
They drove the humans out in Animal Farm. So anyway, continue with this. Turns out that pigs are indeed omnivores, so that gives some credence to this. And for anybody that doesn't know, omnivore means they eat everything. They're both vegetarian and meat eaters, like humans.
Mm-hmm.
Most humans.
I was going to say.
Sorry, don't want a pigeon corn.
Pigeon corn.
I was going to say pigeonhole or pigeon corner.
Pigeonhole.
What's pigeon corn? Pigeon corn.
Pigeon corn.
I don't want a pigeon corn, everybody. So I pulled up two particular articles that would be related to this. And the first one is something called the Daily Star. And they wrote that a Hungarian farmer named Alexandru Pop was eaten by his pigs after falling in a pen, according to the Cluj Forensic Institute. And apparently, I, the way I structured this, I just need to talk about this immediately with these articles. Number one. Daily Star is an extremely dubious tabloid. It's straight up a British tabloid.
Yeah.
All the articles that I saw from this, I originally was going to take it at face value even if I saw one instance of it. And a lot of them were from stuff like the Daily Mail, which we just said, kind of weird. The Daily Mirror, all of them have daily into it. And then they have the Daily Star. All of these are tabloids from the UK that have all dealt with their own libel suits. And are like the precursor to fake news. So the thing is, it's really hard to put this one as true or not. And like I said, this Cluj University, number one, doesn't exist. Once again, the closest thing, well, it's called like the Cluj Forensics Institute.
Yeah.
They have a Cluj International Medical Forensics Institute. It wasn't called Institute, it was something else.
Okay.
But it was not as was cited in the article, which if you're a good reporter, you should get the damn names right.
I don't even think you need to be a good reporter to do that.
Secondly, this is a little primer on how we do our research. You look for a second instance of this story somewhere.
Oh, absolutely.
There was no second instance of this story. So I can't say for sure this didn't happen. They may have just had some Romanian translator that did this and we just got the only scoop. But I could find nothing else on this. This Alexandru Pop guy, turns out, does exist.
Okay.
But he's a Hungarian pop star. I just, when I searched his name, I just got a bunch of like really weird YouTube videos of a dude in Lederhosen doing pop music, I guess. Just look it up. He's kind of catchy, I guess. Okay. Depends on like how your boat floats. But I'm not going to call this one. This is the only instance of somebody being eaten alive because this one specifically said eaten alive.
Yeah.
But I am not calling this one a solid confirmation because there is nothing else to back it up from this article. There is no other reports, nothing cited in there. So I'm going to go ahead and not use this one.
Yeah, I'm going to, my bullshit meter's going off, so I'm going to have to say not true as well.
The only other one that I found in more recent times was one from the Daily Mirror, which is also about on the level of the Daily Star.
I was going to say that, yeah.
But I found a Reuters article related to this one. So this one's actually true. It's just how true it is brought up for debate.
Okay.
Because somebody's wrong in this situation or somebody's trying to be too polite. So the Daily Mailer says that an Italian mobster was killed, then fed to pigs. He was like Francesco Racosta or something like that.
Give me my pasta.
And the murder was allegedly carried out by mob boss Simon Pepe.
Pepe.
24 years old. Very nice for a mob boss.
I was going to say.
24 years old.
He worked his way up quick.
What the fuck are we doing?
I know.
Who reportedly admitted to the killing and three other murders. And he was caught on like recording saying this, like admitting it, like through a phone call. I guess he was tapped. Now, do you want the Daily Mirror version or the Reuters version first?
The Daily Mirror?
You're getting the Reuters version first.
Okay.
So Reuters said, this is the quote from Pepe. Once again, we have to just be, it's not going to be me this time.
Simon Pepe.
It was such a pleasure to hear him scream, the suspect said. In my opinion, there's nothing left of him. This pig can really eat.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, that was the Hannibal Lecter version.
Okay, I was going to say, yeah.
Now, we get the daily. We're talking about somebody getting murdered and fed to pigs, by the way. Here's the Daily Mirror version. It was so satisfying hearing him scream. Mamma mia, he could scream. Pepe Boston tape secured via wiretaps. I didn't see a fucking thing left. I did not exaggerate anything written
that
there.
Was taken directly
that
from
was
the
taken
article.
Directly from the article, but Mamma Mia included. That was no color commentary from me.
That's amazing.
Now I want you to think about who was telling the truth when it came to and who was trying to put more flair.
Well, Mamma Mia.
If I could ever catch an Italian person telling me Mamma Mia, I will just have to reconsider my life, because I think that's just like, I can't even think of an American equivalent term that we don't say. Except for maybe like, boy, howdy.
But, yeah, or I was going to say howdy.
But I say howdy sometimes.
Yeah, I know.
It's just for fun.
Yeah.
That's why I don't take this article for face value. Only because of Reuters do I take it for face value. But this one was not a man being eaten alive.
Yeah, that's a fair
point.
This
was a person being eaten while dead. He was beat with like an iron bar or something.
And then you have to imagine that they starved the pigs and that was the first food they got for some time. And I mean, and if they're omnivores, like you can process it and understand why you would believe it.
If anything is hungry enough, they'll try to eat some ridiculous things.
Right.
But essentially, there are actual cases, more cases that are much more widely known about pigs eating humans. And it's not just like they might have.
Okay.
In 2015, Susan Monica was found guilty of murdering two men about a year apart, then abusing their corpses by feeding them to the animals at her farm.
That's one way to get rid of them.
Now, I mean, this is me being insensitive, so I guess cover your ears if anything. But if I'm dead, it's just my corpse. It's whatever. I wouldn't call it abusing it. It's just, at that point, I'm not experiencing it anymore. But,
That's fair.
I think the family would be upset, though.
I'd be upset, Ryan.
Thank you. You are my family.
I know.
But at that point, I would say that this is a very simple case of trying to cover it up. Although pigs don't eat bones. So, you know.
That's a fair point.
That's not exactly the best way to cover it up, because you're still going to have some residue left over. And also, there is a very famous serial killer named Willie Picton, who one of his M.O.s, aside from selling the meat to a meat factory down the street from him after he killed his victims, mainly prostitutes, he would also feed them to pigs.
When was he around?
Was around in the 80s and 90s.
Okay, yeah, it was. I want to say
actually,
recent, but
he might have been around the 2000s, too. No, he was around the 2000s.
Really?
He was like not caught for like 30 years. Willie Picton went on a long killing streak. Well, he had cooldown periods, but that's like, oof. It's the second set of serial killers we talked about today.
Span of killings, 1983 to 2002.
That's crazy.
Wow.
So anyway, this one, do I have to put it in a bucket? It depends on how we phrase the myth. I said eaten alive, and I'm not trusting this Daily Star article, so
yeah,
I'm
going
to say it's a no. So let's round up. Starting from the bottom, I'm going to say no for that one because we just talked about it. Josh?
Maggots in the head? Ugh. Yeah.
God damn it.
I know.
Pool water, completely false. There's no chemical to detect urine in the pool and, you know, pee shame you.
Marilyn Manson had two of his ribs removed so he could suck his own member. That is false. And Marilyn Manson was in the Wonder Years. Also false.
And the flesh-eating bananas? False.
The Candiru, this one's another one where you get into how it's worded. Is the Candiru a real fish? Yes.
That was never up for debate. What'd it do, though?
Right. Swimming through the urethra, or swimming up through a stream of pee into the urethra.
Urethra
Franklin.
It's not a soft R.
that's false. There's been no known instances, as far as my research goes.
Did you say
like
urethra
happened.
Franklin?
Yes, I did.
Wow.
Yes, I did. Yes, so that is our second installment, question mark? Yes?
Yes, and I will say that, for the most part, rest assured, listeners, only one of the myths is true, but I would argue to say that
it's
the worst grossest one.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Jeez.
Hey, it's better that one.
If you were a Candiru,
that's two episodes in a row.
You swim a penis.
That's two in a row. That's two. If only one out of six is true, I mean, that's a little bit better. I'm trying to look at the glass half full kind of here. So anyway, if you guys want to contact us, talk to us, whatever, hit us up on Twitter. We're at RumorFlies on all social media.
RumorFliesPodcast.com.
RumorFlies@gmail.com and Patreon.com/RumorFlies.
And don't forget to check out the Potter and Love Podcast Convention because we want to see all your pretty faces.
And speaking of that, check out all the shows on darkmyths.org.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's about it.
Oh, also, I guess we'll do a plug for darkmyths.org. I was on the Zang This podcast recently.
Oh, yeah, good call.
With Alex from Instant 3 Play, and we talked about the movie Princess Mononoke, and I went full weeb mode. So if you want to hear a different side of Ryan, just go ahead and check that out.
Yeah.
So
we'll put a description in the show notes if you want to check that out, or we'll do that. So for this episode and every episode of Rumor Flies, I'm Josh.
I'm Ryan.
And Greg's not here.
Bye.
Meh.